Okay, so for this week, for the last installment of Cross Training, we're gonna talk about what I believe to be the most undervalued, the most misunderstood, the most underpracticed spiritual discipline. Yet at the same time, I believe it's one of the most important and most essential spiritual discipline that we could practice as Christians, and that is fasting. Yes. So I know we're gonna talk about fasting today, but before that, I just want to establish this one truth, and that is, food is awesome. I don't know about you. Do you kita dere ang ganahan mo kaon? Who here loves to eat? I agree with you. I totally agree with you. I love to eat. You know, I think next to my passion for God and for the next generation is my passion for eating. And you know, I believe that God created food for a purpose. And the Bible teaches us that one of the many reasons why God created food is for nourishment, right? I mean, when you look back in Genesis palangdaan, when God created Adam and Eve, God gave Adam and Eve and every animal in that garden, every green plant food for their nourishment, right? For their sustenance so that they can live. And at the same time, more than just nourishment, God gave it for our enjoyment. Can you believe that we can actually enjoy eating? And I don't know about you, pero I enjoy eating a lot more, especially if the food is for free. So God made food for our enjoyment. We can actually enjoy eating. Diba? Kasi if not, then why would God create sense of taste, right? I mean, you know, kung nourishment naman ang purpose sa food, ngano kailangan pa man nato matilawan unsa ang tamis, ang aslom, ang asgad ug pait, right? But it's that for that very purpose so that we could enjoy the food that we are eating. Another thing is, I believe that God created food for fellowship. How many of you agree with me that there's no such thing as fellowship pag walay pagkaon, di ba? Diba? Fellowship always happens with food around, and I totally, totally agree with that. You know how they say that the best conversations happen over a meal, right? Especially Jesus, diba? The last instructions, the most important things that he shared to his disciples happen over a meal, diba? The last supper, right? So great conversations happen in a meal. So God created food for fellowship. And another thing is, God also created food for worship, diba? So we can actually worship God while eating, diba? The Bible says that anything that is taken in thanksgiving, diba? We take food in thanksgiving. So you actually get to worship God while you eat. So in that essence, food is actually good. Food is actually pleasurable, right? Now while the Bible, it's actually a very curious thing, no? Now while the Bible teaches us that food is actually pleasurable, it also teaches us the discipline of fasting, right? It's a very curious thing. Now, actually, in fact, Jesus himself practiced fasting. He spent 40 days and 40 nights without eating or without drinking, right? In the desert, in the wilderness. I mean, Jesus himself practiced fasting. And not only did he fast, but he also expects and assumes people to fast. Look at Matthew 6, verse 17. It says here, "But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face." He says here, "But when." He doesn't say, "But if you fast," meaning conditional, na you can actually go about your life without choosing to fast. But he says, "But when," meaning it's an occasional term, meaning he expects that there is an occasion in your life when you do, in fact, fast. So it's actually expected of us. Now, how does the Bible define fasting? Fasting actually comes from the Greek word nesteia. It comes from ne, meaning not, esteo, to eat, and put that together, that gives not to eat, right? Or to abstain from eating. That's essentially what fasting means. Now, earlier we just said that food is pleasurable, right? Now, when you think about it, how come or why does God want us to fast? Why does God want us to abstain from that which is pleasurable? Sometimes we get that tendency to not pay attention. We fall into the trap or concentrate on something else or get so distracted that we don't realize that God is actually there, that we don't pay attention to God anymore. And I don't know about you, but I do believe that God has something to say and God does speak. I mean, that's in fact the reason why he gave us the Bible, right? So that he could speak to us. And another thing, he also gave us the Holy Spirit, right? To guide us into all truth and remind us of everything that Jesus has spoken to us, right? So I do believe for a fact that God does have something to say. The Holy Spirit does have something to say. But the thing is, we're too distracted that we can't hear him anymore. And that's exactly why fasting is very important, because fasting gives us the avenue to listen to him, right? Fasting, in that sense, gives us the avenue to listen to what God has to say. And when we can listen to him, that's the only time that we can be aligned to him. And we see this principle happening, that biblical fasting is actually abstaining from the pleasures of this world so that you can be aligned to God. And that's exactly what fasting does. If you read through your Bible, you're going to see that a lot of men and women in the Bible actually practice fasting. And when you read through it, they fast for a lot of different reasons. Some of them fast to mourn the dead, di ba kasi nainamat siyan. Or sometimes some of them, they fast for healing or for wisdom or for guidance. Or some of them fast because they are repentant of their sins. Some of them fast, like Jesus, to prepare for his ministry, right? So they have a lot of reasons for fasting. But regardless of whatever their reason may be, they have something in common. And that is what we're going to talk about today. So today we're going to look into one man who fasted in the Bible. And we're going to talk about King David. So we've been talking about him for the past 4 weeks now. And today we're still going to talk about him. So bear with me for a while. And we're going to look into one of the Psalms that he wrote, King David, the man after his own heart. And we're going to look at how he viewed fasting, what fasting meant to him, and what it could mean for all of us today. Psalms 69. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire where there is no foothold. I have come into the deep waters and the flood sweeps over me. I am weary with my crying out. My throat is parched. My eyes grow dim with waiting for my God. How many of you guys have found yourselves in that kind of situation? You feel like you're drowning. You feel like you're neck deep into a certain situation. You're neck deep. Maybe it could be depression. You know, gibulagan mo sa imong uyab for 20 years. Or maybe you're neck deep into a financial circumstance. Bills are piling up and you don't know how to make ends meet. You know, or maybe for the students here, you're just so neck deep in the pressures. The assignments dire, assignments ito, long quiz, long exam, long short, unsa pa na dira. Projects upon projects, deadlines upon deadlines. You're neck deep into those kind of situations. How many of you guys have ever found yourselves in those kind of situations? You've been crying and crying and crying and crying your eye out until you can't cry hard enough. You get into that situation where you're just crying out. And not only that, your eyes, if you look into the last verse there, my eyes grow dim with waiting with God. How many of you have found yourselves in that kind of situation wherein you're just, Lord, di ba ingon kayo mo kong tabangan? Lord, I've been doing good. I haven't stepped on people's toes. I haven't robbed anyone anything. I'm being a good kid here. But why is this happening to me? Di ba you promised that you're gonna turn things for my favor? Di ba you promised that you're gonna make things good for those who love you? How many of you guys have been in that situation? Now let me ask you this. When we face those kinds of situations in our lives, how do you guys respond? What do you do? Think about it. And I want us to look at how David responded to this situation. It says here, for the zeal for your house has consumed me, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. When I wept and humbled my soul with fasting, it became my reproach. When I made sackcloth my clothing, I became a byword to them. Our common tendencies as humans, you know, when we face these kinds of difficult situations in our lives, when we are so pressed hard on a corner, or maybe we're in neck deep in the situations, don't you think that it's so much easier to just give up right then and there? Don't you think that it's so much easier for us to just throw in the towel and give up on God? But it's interesting how David responded, that despite everything that he's been going through, despite the difficulties that he was facing, the zeal for the house of the Lord still consumed him. The zeal for the Lord, the zeal, the passion. Basically, even when he was going through these difficult times in his life, even when he was so hard-pressed, he was facing enemies from all corners, he still wanted to do what was right. He still wanted to honor God. He still wanted to live an upright life. The zeal for the house of God has consumed him. and he doesn't want to dishonor God even amidst a situation. And that's how David responded. And because of that zeal, because of that passion, it led him to weep and humble his soul with fasting. This is the reason why we fast. It's the zeal, it's the passion, it's the desire to live upright. That is why we fast. And we fast, we weep and humble our souls with fasting. David wept and humbled his soul with fasting. You know, difficulties in our lives are not designed to actually draw us away from God, but it's actually to push us closer to Him. And who knows, maybe you're going through a difficult situation right now. I don't know, maybe financial, emotional, hopefully not psychological or whatever it may be. Maybe marital problems, maybe pressures at school, I don't know. But whatever it may be, I pray that these things would bring us closer to God. It would push you to weep and humble yourself before God. When I say weep here, I'm not saying that for the next 3 days, starting June 30, we're going to go around and cry and cry and cry. No, that's not what I'm talking about. When you say weep here, it's actually just pouring out, pouring yourself out. And that's exactly the kind of attitude that we should have when we fast. We just have to pour ourselves before God. Pour ourselves, pour our burdens, pour our guilt, pour the anxieties, pour the pressure on God. Pour it all out at His feet. And we humble ourselves before God. We realize, we come to a point where we realize that, Lord, I can't do this on my own. And until you humble yourself before God that way, you will never, ever understand. You will never come to realize that you, in fact, cannot do this on your own. You can't do life on your own. We weep and we humble our souls with fasting. When we fast, when we humble ourselves before God through fasting, it gives us a proper perspective, actually. Look at verse 13 here. It says here, "But as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord. At an acceptable time, O God, in the abundance of your steadfast love, answer me in your saving faithfulness." I'm just amazed. The first one there is an acceptable time. My prayer is to you, God. At an acceptable time, answer me. I loved how David says here, because in this one verse alone, he tells us that God is gonna answer him, not at an acceptable time for him, for David, but rather at an acceptable time for God. How many of you guys understand that when you go through situations and you pray about it, sometimes your prayers don't get answered the way you want them to? Sometimes God moves in a way that's different from what you expect. But regardless of that, God is gonna answer at an acceptable time. Not on your terms, but on His. Another thing here, he says, "In the abundance of your steadfast love, answer me in your saving faithfulness." I love that. Sometimes kasi when we go through situations in life, we come before God in an attitude of self-entitlement. Sometimes we come before God and say, "Lord, I've been serving you all my life. Lord, I have been faithful. I have been giving my tithes. Lord, I have been ushering for all day already. Lord, I've been doing all these things and all that. I deserve this. Why is this things happening to me? Lord, I've been faithful. Didn't you say?" Sometimes we come to God in that kind of attitude. But I love how David says it. He doesn't come as King David, by the way. He comes in appeal to the abundance of steadfast love, to God's abundance of steadfast love and His saving faithfulness. He comes to God and tells Him, "Lord, answer me, not because I'm good, not because I'm the king, but answer me because your love, your steadfast love is abundant and your saving faithfulness is real." And that's exactly how he approaches God. Isn't that amazing? Don't you think that's just an amazing picture of what God is like? Steadfast love and saving of faithfulness there, that's a constant. God in His word said He will never change. Regardless of whatever you did in the past, what you're doing right now, what you're going to do in the future, God's steadfast love for you, His abundant steadfast love for you will remain the same. It will remain abundant. It will never change. And you can always come before God and appeal to Him in that way. It will never change. This is just an amazing God. I don't know about you, but every time I think about it, parang, "Lord, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him." Right? I mean, seriously, the God of the universe created the heavens and the earth. He doesn't need people like us. In fact, we don't deserve any good thing. that we have right now in our lives. So we can't really come to God and say, Lord, I deserve this. Because the Bible teaches us that the only thing that we deserve, sin, or the wages of sin is what? It's death. That's the only thing we deserve. But it is the grace of God in Jesus Christ that gives us these things that we are able to experience. Even in these situations, we are able to experience the grace of God. We are able to smile. We are able to, even in our mourning, we can rejoice. Even in sadness, we can laugh. Even in hardships, we can endure because of this grace. But God gives you grace. God answers you. Not because you're good, but because His steadfast love is abundant. And His saving faithfulness is real. One more thing. As I mentioned earlier, fasting gives us proper perspective, right? Now, what happens when we humble ourselves before God in prayer and in fasting? I'm going to give you three things. It's just so exciting. First one here, he says here, you will praise and magnify the Lord. You will praise and magnify the Lord. In verse 30, it says here, I will praise the name of God with this song. I will magnify Him with thanksgiving. Have you seen a magnifying glass? What does a magnifying glass do? When you take a magnifying glass, you put it on a small object. What happens to the small object? It becomes bigger, right? It becomes bigger. But when the Bible says it, when we magnify God in thanksgiving, it doesn't mean that we are making God bigger, because God is already big. I mean, come on. He holds the waters in His hand, for crying out loud. That's how big God is. Even if you make Him big, you can't make Him big because He's already big. But when we magnify God with thanksgiving, when we magnify Him, when we fast and we pray, we are actually just taking a step back and putting our focus and redirecting it to God. We are redirecting our focus to God. And when we redirect our focus to God, we get to see how big He is. We get to see how magnanimous, how big He is. Parang how amazing He is, how powerful, how omnipotent, how omniscient. Na parang inanide ka dako ang akong God. That's what fasting does. It makes you shift your focus from the problems that you have. It makes you see, nala, inanide ka dako akong Ginoo. He's bigger. He's bigger than anything you're going through. He's bigger than the problems that you have. He's bigger than the guilt that you're carrying. He's bigger than the sin that you are carrying. That's how big God is. Bigger. No name. But He is the name above every name. Whatever name it may be, whether it be death, lack, poverty, cancer, sickness, whatever it may be, Jesus' name is higher than that. God is bigger than that. Yet this big of a God cares for you and is mindful of you. Do you think that's amazing? And when you get to see how big God is, when you get to see how amazing He is, when you get your focus on Him, your hearts will be revived. That's number two. Your heart will be revived. It says in verse 32, when the humble see it, they will be glad. You seek God, let your hearts revive. When you get to realize how big God is, suddenly, when you see how big He is, everything else becomes smaller. Your problems become smaller. Your situation suddenly becomes smaller. Why? I'm not saying, by the way, that your situation won't become any less real or your situation will become less painful. I'm not saying that. Maybe it will still be painful. Maybe it will still be real and evident in your life. But regardless of that, when we get our focus straight and we see how big God is, we get to see, na Lord, gamay ra madaini, and You're still bigger than all these things. And whatever situation that we are going through right now, it pales in comparison to the glory and the greatness of Jesus Christ, of God enthroned in heaven. And when you realize that, somehow the heart that was once drowning in sadness, the heart that was once, you know, neck deep in the situation, neck deep in depression, neck deep in debt, neck deep in whatever it is that you're going through, in guilt, in shame, or whatever it is, that heart that was once drowning suddenly becomes lifted up and it becomes hoping. That hope has been revived. The heart has been revived. Because you get to understand that, Lord, even if I'm going through this situation, I can get through it because You are bigger and You will give me the strength to endure this. Not only to endure this, but to thrive in this. We are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. I mean, read your Bible. It's all there.
we get to see that God is bigger and everything else becomes smaller, and we put things in proper perspective. And we get to go through another day, not just enduring it, but thriving in it. Even when this world will just mourn in that situation, you can find yourself laughing, rejoicing, because you know that you have a God who will turn things into your favor. You have a God who will make whatever it is that the enemy has intended for you for harm, He will make it into your good. You have a God who will make all things beautiful in His time. That is how great our God is. And that is what fasting does to you. It makes you see that. One last thing. When we humble and fast before God, He says that your prayers will be answered. Your prayers will be answered. And we talked about this earlier. Your prayers won't be answered according to your demands or according to your appeal or your acceptable time. It's gonna be answered according to His acceptable time, in the way He wants it to, according to what He wants done. Because at the end of it, you have to realize that His will is still so much bigger, so much better than your will. That His plans for you are still better than the plans that you could ever make up for yourself. That His plan is good, pleasing, and perfect. And nothing you can ever think of and think and hear and see can ever compare to what God has for you, for those who love Him. Your prayers will definitely be answered. It says in verse 33, "For the Lord hears the needy and does not despise His own people who are prisoners." You can be sure that when God hears His children crying out to Him, praying to Him, and humbling themselves to Him, He is not gonna take those prayers sitting down. He is gonna come to your rescue. He is gonna come with thunder and rolling. He's gonna come and He's gonna save you. For He says in His word that those who seek Me will find Me. If you seek Him with all your heart. We talked about this earlier. Fasting is abstaining from the things of this world, from the pleasures of this world, so that you can align yourself to God. And you know, when we fast, what's the natural response? Gutmon ka. You, of course, you fast. When you fast, you get hungry. That's a natural response. But I love that, you know, when you fast, something happens in the supernatural realm that we can't see here in the natural. What we do here in the natural, my friends, affects something that is far beyond what we can see or what our senses can comprehend. Look at this verse here in 2 Corinthians 4, 16 to 17. It says here that so we do not lose heart. When we go into difficult situations, when we're going through these things, and we fast and we humble ourselves before God, we don't lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, though I'm so hungry right now and I want to eat, though even if this situation in my life is pressing down on me so hard, even if our outer self, our physical self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Our inner self, our inner being, your spirit is getting strengthened every time you do these spiritual disciplines, my friends. Your spirits are getting stronger. Your inner being, your inner human, your inner man gets stronger. Your spirit gets stronger so that for this light and momentary affliction, this hunger, this difficulty, this seemingly impossible situation that you're going through is preparing for you an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. That is a promise from the Bible itself, my friends. Take it to heart. Learn from it. Put it in your heart. Believe that. For spiritual disciplines are dead without faith. And our faith is rooted in the Word of God. How can you believe if you do not know? But the Word of God says that when we do these things, it is actually preparing for us an eternal weight of glory. Beyond all comparison, beyond all the things that you can see right now. Maybe you're seeing death, an impossible situation right now. Or maybe you're seeing that your family member is getting sick and you're thinking that it's so impossible right now. Who knows? Maybe those trials can become the greatest testimonies of your life. And maybe God is just waiting for you to appropriate your faith, to activate that faith. And believe in by doing the spiritual disciplines. I'm not saying that spiritual disciplines God is still waiting for your spiritual disciplines to do it para maka-answer sa prayer. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm just saying that the spiritual disciplines makes us see, makes our focus fixed on God, and we get to see that these things, these normal things, these physical things that I'm seeing right now, there is something greater that's happening in the spiritual realms, and God is doing something much more beyond what I can see, beyond what I can hear, beyond what I can even think. God is doing something greater. God is doing something greater in your lives, whatever situation it may be. And you can't see it right now. You can't see it with these eyes. The Bible teaches us to live by faith, to see with eyes of faith, not by sight. And we take this, we do these things in faith because we believe that we have a God who can do so much more, immeasurably more than we can ever ask for or imagine. Don't you agree with that? That we have a God who is able to turn whatever the enemy has intended for our harm to make it into something that for our good, that we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us, that we will never be separated from the love that we have in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Isn't our God an amazing God and a great God? Don't you just agree with that? Okay, let's just give God a clap or praise right now.